What's going on, everybody? We're back with the Real Bodybuilding Podcast, episode number 64, and I'm here with Mr. Samson Dauda, who is a hostile athlete
and, yeah.
has been dieting for like 5 years straight.
Oh, man.
All right, so if you guys watched the last podcast with me and Samson, you guys know he dieted for most of the year, and COVID put off a bunch of your shows, and then the last time we talked, you were in Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's take it from the point where you were, because when we spoke, you were supposed to compete the week after.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's take it from right there and tell us what happened.
So basically, I was in quarantine in the hotel, weren't I? And I was kind of getting ready for the show then. Yeah. And obviously, after 14 days in quarantine in the hotel, on the 14th day, you know, just when I was getting released, I was coming out that day, got a message from the promoter of the show, and they said, "Look, man, we're going to have to postpone the show by 2 weeks." So, I mean, you can probably just imagine how that feels.
Are you crazy? Obviously. How did you not?
I literally just started crying.
Did you actually cry? I actually cried.
Literally, because it was like, I woke up that morning and I'm thinking, you know how you're feeling good? Like, finally, we did this. I'm going out. This is it. Freedom. Yeah. And then I looked at my phone and I got the message. And it literally, your heart just skips a beat. And then I called my girl and I called her. I said, "You ain't gonna believe this. You ain't gonna, you know, this is what's happening and everything else." And they were obviously asking me to stay for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And at that point, all I had was just frustration in my head.
So wait a minute. So before you go on, because you said they asked you to stay for 2 more weeks, but we didn't say why. So they messaged you and said the show's off. Now at that point,
yeah,
I probably would have thrown a chair through the window. Like because people have to understand. Yeah. Like if you haven't watched the last podcast, people have to understand that. Mm-hmm. Samson now had been dieting since like February.
Yeah. January.
Yeah. And you had multiple shows canceled and you weren't able to fly to the US for Tampa and like all the, and now you're at the cusp of getting
literally the Thursday before the show. Like, all right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Because for me, it feels like Thursday before a show, it seems to be like my bad luck day. Because we were flying out the Thursday before Tampa, and we got turned away at the airport. So every single time, it always seems like that Thursday before a show is like heart-wrenching. It's like, no. And then this one happened to cancel or get postponed Thursday before the show. So it was almost like, man, okay.
So they text you, and they tell you it's canceled. And then what do they tell you? What do they tell you? Are you just thinking you're going to go home at this point, or what did they tell you?
Basically, they said, it's been postponed because of the government is tightening the restrictions in Korea because of the corona outbreak they have it. So at this point, they said, "Look, we're going to postpone it by 2 weeks."
Okay.
So, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, how do I know in 2 weeks this is actually going to happen? How do I know? I mean, this is all you think in your head is just, you're just cursing. There's not even like common, like sensible thought in it.
Yeah.
So I called my girl and I spoke to her, and already you can almost imagine, like, it's almost like, this is crazy. You know, my head, I was already told the promoter, "No, I'm going home. I ain't doing this. I'm going home. That's it."
I would have.
So, you know, I'm like, this is just, you know. So my girl just kind of told me, "You know what? Go back to sleep. Get in bed. Just sleep. Don't." Because at this point, I've already packed my stuff up in the hotel. I was about to leave the room. My stuff was in boxes. And she was like, "No, just go back to sleep. You won't be able to think straight right now. Just go back to sleep." So I literally went back to sleep for an hour, woke up, and we kind of sat there and we thought, okay, what do you do? And then you start thinking a little bit more reasonably, and then you start thinking, okay, you're already here. Yeah, you have to wait 2 more weeks to get on the stage, but you're going to be able to go to a gym. You're going to be in a hotel. You're going to be able to have the freedom back. You know, you're going to be able to diet, eat properly.
Because for those people who don't know, your quarantine was over. You had been there for 2 weeks. Yeah. You're quarantined now. So now you could go in and out of the hotel room whenever you felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so for me, then when you start thinking about it in terms of reason, you start saying, okay, that's not so bad. Okay. The whole part of that section of it, of actually staying around 2 weeks, doesn't seem so bad. You know, and then, you know, all good work for the promoters, man. They put me up in a hotel. They said, "Look, we're going to give you a hotel to stay. No one will pay for it. We'll do everything, you know, if you're willing to stay."
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Okay. From that point on, I think it's starting to look more reasonable and everything else. So we kind of think, okay, hell, why not? We're here. Let's get on. Let's just do it. You know, this journey carries on.
Yeah.
So we basically came out of the hotel that night, midnight, basically. You can't leave the room until the clock strikes midnight.
Yeah.
And they were literally specific about it. Literally, it was like 5 minutes before midnight. They call your phone and go, "Start getting ready to leave your room." I'm like, man, 5 minutes ain't gonna make a difference, man. I've been here for 14 days.
Yeah.
But it literally was like that. I grabbed my bag and came out, and I'm running out of the hotel room, and I'm screaming out freedom, and I'm chasing out of the place. And come out, walk out of the hotel room. You got these guys in the hazmat suit, obviously signing your paperwork and letting you go. And then one of them whips out a note and go, "Man, can I have your autograph?" He goes, "I'm like, I'm a fan." I'm like, "Huh? Really? Yeah. Okay." And for me, I'm like, "Really? Yeah. This is strange." So he kind of like just walked out of there. And it was the first time I kind of walked outside and realized, okay, Korea is hot, man. It's humid as hell.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, being in the hotel room for 14 days, it was air conditioning. The window wasn't really a big opening window. So I didn't realize it at the time. And then come out of the room, and it was like a, you know, it just hit me. And I'm thinking, I just start sweating on the spot, like literally, just start gushing out. I'm thinking, holy crap, this is crazy. So we kind of got picked up by our promoters and everything, took me to a hotel. I think it was like, almost by the time we got there, it was like 2 a.m. at night, you know. Got there at this point, kind of go in the room, and then it's almost like, okay, you got to start planning again, okay. How are you going to make things happen? How are you going to diet? How are you going to find a gym? All that stuff.
Yeah.
And mind you, the first 2 days, I actually broke down.
Yeah. Why?
Because it was basically, you went from room and like, okay, you had a routine. Yeah, as much as it is, you still had a routine. Okay, wake up this time. Food gets brought this time. You can make your meals at this time and everything. And then all of a sudden, we got in a hotel and it's almost like self-catering, obviously, cook your meals and everything else. And I'm in pieces. And I'm thinking, I don't speak the language. I don't read Korean. I don't know where the shop is. I don't know where the gym is. I don't know. And it's literally like, okay, hell, you know, it's panic. Where did I get my food? What did I do? What can I eat? And the first 2 days, like trying to find things. And at this point, the panic then starts setting in. I'm thinking, okay, I got a show in 2 weeks. I'm trying to get my affairs in order. And it's almost like all of a sudden it starts feeling like this is a lot worse than actually being in the room in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden you start, because just that fear of trying to find your bearings, and especially when you're that close to a show and you're in prep, your mind doesn't work the same way. You can't rationalize things very quickly. You almost like your first act of emotion before you actually calm down and start thinking.
Yeah.
So it was just like, oh man, okay. And then I call my girl and I'm telling her, I'm losing. She's kind of like, okay, you know, calm down. Okay, let's search. And remember, in Korea, Google doesn't work in Korea. So Google Maps. So almost like all the kind of things you can depend on to find information normally if you go in a normal place, all that is out the window. So at this point, you're like, okay, you're not going to ask the locals because they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I'm messaging promoters and they obviously on the other side of town and they're saying, you know, yeah, try this, try that, and try this. Mm-hmm. So I just went for a walk and tried to find my bearings. Okay. Find a supermarket. Okay. Went in there, did my food shopping, you know, get all the stuff I can find and everything else. I slowly started finding my way around it. And then the first week, found a gym, started training in the gym. They were really nice over there. I mean, they welcomed us because they knew what we were going through. It's like, yeah, man, Korean fans, wow.
Yeah.
They are so kind. It's unbelievable, man. They really will go out your way to help you. And that's I also appreciate it, man. They really stepped up and I was like, wow, you know what? People that I was like, how the hell do you even know me? And people were like, yeah, no, we're following your story. We know what's going on. Don't worry. Come train here. We'll give you a hand. And I'm thinking, wow, this is, you know, it's, it really feels surreal. I'm thinking, I'm this dude staying in Korea and people know what you're going. I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So we kind of got a lot of help and stuff in that way. And then after that first week went by, it was like, okay, cool. One more week to go. Peak week. Let's get it on. And then the ending of that week, it hits again.
Come on.
Another hit. So the government in Korea tightened up the lockdown.
Was it Thursday again?
Yeah.
It was Thursday?
Believe you me, this is Thursday again. And I tell you what, I literally think Thursday is the most unlucky day. I mean, I feel like I've been unlucky throughout this whole thing, but it was almost like it was a movie. You couldn't make it up. And I'm thinking, what the hell? So all gyms from that Sunday closed. No gyms open for about 2 weeks. All gyms are closed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, this is already making me nervous. I'm thinking, if they're going that far, what's going to happen with the show?
Yeah.
So my heart is pounding and I'm already thinking, man, this is not good. This is not good. This is not good.
Yeah.
So I message the promoters. They say, don't worry. It's to go. Don't worry. We're talking with it. On Monday, we're going to have a discussion with the Korean government and we'll find out for sure if the show is happening that weekend.
Okay.
So I'm all right. Cool. So I think it was the weekend and they put out a post and they said, the show has been canceled.
Oh my God.
So
this is one week before.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm this point, you know, man, I literally go on the phone to them and straight away. I'm like, man, guys, come on. Come on. Yeah. And they were like, you know what, man? The thing is, we're being sat on very harsh with the Korean government. Yeah. You know, they really are being tightened up on these things and stuff like that. And at the time, but the funny thing is, at the time, that weekend, shows were happening in other federations in Korea.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, why? Oh, look, can we just get this done? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So basically, after a while, they kind of, I don't know, they must have had a discussion with Korean government or whatever they did. And they said, okay, what they're going to do is the pro show will still happen.
Yeah.
But it has to be under wraps, completely under wraps.
So the government is allowing it, or the people are like, we're going to do it anyway and just not tell anybody?
From what I gathered, the government allowed it, which is where it was really strange to me.
Which is weird. Really, if the government's allowing it, why is it so private?
And this is, it's kind of like, you know, for me, I'm thinking, you know what, hell, whatever I do, I just want to compete. You know, if that's what we got to take. So I'm just like, look. So they're saying, okay, the pro show can allow, but we can't say anything. Mm-hmm. If anybody says anything, they're going to have to cancel the show. So at this point, the show is officially canceled, but they want to have the pro show anyway. It happened.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. So coming into that week, they pushed the women classes forward and they did the women class on the Wednesday. So that kind of happened. And I was thinking, okay, women's, they've done. So surely this is looking good.
It's good news. Happening. Yeah.
I'm like, cool. So taking the fact, every day that week, my heart, there was no ease and there was no peaceful night's sleep. There was no nothing. It was literally on edge the whole time we were on edge. We're thinking, any day, this thing is just evolving by the day. Any day you could get a new saying, sorry, guy, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, so you literally, you're trying to peek out for the show and the stress is insane. The feeling is insane. How many bodybuilders can say, oh, I got a weight show this weekend, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not?
Listen, I'm just going to interrupt you for 1 second. I'll tell you this. Yep. I would have left 2 weeks before.
No,
I'm just telling you because, first of all, even the stuff that happened to you before, like when you were trying to fly to Tampa and they canceled your trip.
Yeah.
You've stuck through way more than I would have because I've been in situations before where, like, for example, I tried to do FIBO, I think FIBO in 2015.
Yeah.
2015. And me and Cedric were getting ready for FIBO and whatever, and I was going to fly. And a week before the show, they canceled it. And I don't know. It wasn't COVID. It was, I forget what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know why back then, but the promoters canceled the pro show and they left the expo. And, that night I said, fuck this. And I started eating like pizza and fucking all this. I threw my diet out the window. I was like, I don't care. Right. Cause I was angry. Cause I had dieted for, you know, 14 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm talking about. Right. So, and it just so happened that the Orlando show was like a few weeks later, so I got back on my diet. But
yeah,
I can't imagine what you've gone through to this point, and then still now every single day worrying that it's gonna be
canceled. Man, I can tell you, man, it was not an easy feeling. It really wasn't an easy feeling. And at this point, you're not even going to the gym to train. You're sitting in the auto.
Can I ask you a question? Are you like, I'm an emotional eater, right? So when I get angry, I reach for a burger.
For food.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite way.
Okay.
When things happen and I get stressed, I just completely cut out. I just stop eating.
Okay.
I don't think. I just completely go and just completely, almost like a fasting thing.
So at no point during this thing, like, when you got bad news, did you reach and, like, cheat on your diet? You just kind of stayed because you're not thinking, like, I'm angry, I'm going to go eat. You're the opposite way.
I'm the opposite way itself. Because like the Thursday when I first got the news that the show was going to be canceled or they postponed, that whole day I didn't eat.
Oh, okay.
So already that day I was just kind of like having snacks here, but I couldn't even eat proper food. It was almost like just completely off, completely forget about it.
Wow, okay.
So
okay.
same thing the day when they said, oh, it's going to be canceled, but unofficially canceled. Same thing that day. I'm stressed out. I can't bring myself to eat.
So going back to where we were, so they had the women's competition, and now you're still getting ready every day.
Yeah.
How far was the women's competition from? Take me from
the women's competition on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The men's competition is on Sunday night.
Sunday night. And now you're training Thursday, Friday. Tell me, go on from there, from the story.
So basically, from that point on, obviously, we kind of like in the hotel room, and we were thinking, okay, we were training in the hotel anyway, so we're thinking, okay, just at this point, you're already there. You don't need to do anything crazy. You're already at that point. So they had the women's done. I think then the Saturday, at this point, I was even appealing for them, look, can't you move the men's forward?
Yeah.
Move it a few days forward. Like, let's just get it done before this whole thing goes crazy while we have the chance. And they was like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. We'll get on stage. It's a Sunday. You know, don't worry. It's fine. Same time, whatever. So at this point, obviously, you posted on Instagram saying the show is canceled and everything else. And you're getting loads of messages. And you're thinking, now you're under obligation that you can't even say anything.
Yeah.
You have to now say, well, you know, it is what it is. And I'm thinking, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Because as a person, I don't, it's not in me to like pretend to cover, to do stuff like, look, if something's happened with me, I'll say, look, man, this is what's happened, man. It sucks, but yeah, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You know? So for me to be in a position where now people say, oh man, really sorry about the show, really sorry about the show. And I'm knowing that there's a chance it might happen, but yeah, I'm saying, yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't sit right. It just didn't, you know, it felt like this just feels really odd. It doesn't, it's not something I'm used to.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, you know what, if this is what you got to do, make it up afterwards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through the days and then got to Saturday and they did the men's physique show on that Saturday.
Okay.
So at that point, I'm thinking, okay, final day, stop drinking, cut water, whatnot. And I messaged my mother going, look, at this point, I haven't even heard from them until that Saturday. Because even then I was thinking, the less I hear from them, the better off I am. Yeah. Because it seems like I don't want any bad text coming through. So I'm like, I'd rather know even. If I don't hear from you, it means that everything is good.
Yeah.
So on the Saturday, I messaged them saying, look, what's the deal?
Mm.
And they sent me a picture of the men's physique guys on stage. They said, look, it's a go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's, seriously, this is actually happening.
Yeah.
So we got ready, you know, went to sleep, woke up the sun.
Shit, you cut out. Are you there? Samson?
Oh, man. The funny thing is...
Wait, go back, because you cut out for a while. Wait, I'm going to have to edit this out. One sec, Samson. You're cut out completely. Shit. Are you there?
Yeah, hello.
I got you.
Okay.
Can you go back to the Sunday morning? Because you cut out at that point.
All right, cool. So the Sunday morning, I woke up and it's like, okay, we're looking dry. We're looking on point. We're like, okay, cool. This is it. The thing is, the Thursday before, a few days before, I had, because I'm in a hotel on my own the whole time. So yeah. I had to do my own shaving and my own tan.
Yeah.
Now, a man on his own in the room trying to tan, you can just imagine what this looks like. I'm thinking about
the shaving.
Yeah. look, you can, everywhere else is cool.
Yeah.
But your back and everything, I'm like, okay. So basically, I went to the store and I got, you know, one of them roller things you get.
Yeah.
You kind of, I had to buy a roller to kind of like, okay, come on, this is it.
What did you do? Like attach the razor to the roller?
No, because I had, because I used hair removal cream.
Oh, okay,
So yeah. this was like, okay, just get the cream on there. Wait 20 minutes, wash it off. You know, it will get most of it off, you know. So at this point, it's like, it was the scene, right? I can't even make it up. Like,
I gotta ask this question. I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
Did you do your backside, not your back, but your ass with the cream?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go right in there as well,
dude,
man.
Dude, I've done that shit before. That burns, man.
That does burn. Oh
my God. Okay.
So obviously, it was a funny story because the shaving happened the day before. The next day was a tanning. And believe me, the tanning was a lot more worse. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a lot worse. So you got a freaking pro tan in the tub. You know the roller thing? So
you're trying to roll on the tan.
Bro, man, in the hotel room, let's just say, like, I hope that they don't see or they don't really check that room properly because tan got in places that it shouldn't have been. I mean, so I'm like, okay. So, but manage somehow.
Yeah.
So Sunday, obviously, went out waited all day in the hotel room until it got to, like, you know, about 8 o'clock. Started walking down to the venue. The venue is only like around the corner from the thing anyway. So walk to the venue. As soon as you get there, you get the venue. They give you a contract.
Yeah.
And they say on this contract, you cannot post or disclose any information about this show to anyone. Okay. You got to sign this. And apparently this is official from the IBB as well. So it's like, you cannot post or disclose anything to anyone. Wow. So I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Being there on my own, I'm like, look, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I signed the contract And I mean, he says you can't do it until the promoters themselves officially announce the show.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, cool. So sign the contract. And then they take your phone from you and say, you're not allowed any phone in the building. No one's allowed their phone.
That's so crazy.
So I'm like, oh. So at this point, I call my girl up, like, look, this is going to be our last conversation. This is what's happening, you know, trying to get it off. Like, look, this is it.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, I'm like, look, I'm going to have to call you until the show is done. This is what's happening.
And wait a minute. For those people who don't know, your girlfriend is your coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you're having, now not only are you saying goodbye to your girlfriend, so your support system you're also saying goodbye to your coach.
Your coach. And so you can imagine, like, especially athletes, we always have to compete backstage. You can imagine what your mental state is like at that point.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, the stress is one thing, but to be there and not have anybody and not have anybody to talk to, say, look,
not what have do your you think? Not have your wife, not have your coach, not have anything. No. Yeah. That's so crazy.
It's not a good feeling. I can tell you that much. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Because no matter who athlete you are, I think when you're backstage, your mind does play up on you. There's no getting away from that. You have to everybody.
100%.
And having someone there to tell you, come, it's cool. Don't worry, you go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what holds you together at that point.
I agree,
so not having that at that point is like, oh, Jesus, okay. But then you think, we've come this far. Come on.
So
handed my phone
and walked in there. I was waiting in the waiting room. There was four guys in my class. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there waiting. Okay. Wait a few times, and they did the 212 class first.
Yeah.
And then our class was next. So 212 guys got pumped up and everything else. We started getting ready and getting pumped up. So got oiled up and everything else. Said, okay. Started walking us into the stage. Now the stage is just a big empty warehouse, like literally just big empty place. No audience, nothing. Okay. They had the 4K recording the whole thing. They were recording us pumping, they were recording everything else. But at this point, other than mirrors you had in the changing rooms, you have no idea what is happening. You can't see what you look like. You don't know what you look like next to someone. You don't know. So we walked through, come around the stage, jumped on the stage. Four guys.
Wait, before you go on. When you saw the four guys backstage, what did you think? Well, was it you and four guys or you and three guys?
Me and three guys.
So what did you think when you saw the other three guys backstage pumping up? Because everybody takes an inventory of the people backstage, right?
Of course.
So what did you think?
So, personally, I looked at this and I thought, man, come on. There's no way in hell. I mean, personally, you got to say, but this time, you know, there's been times backstage you see guys and you're thinking, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay, he's going to be trouble.
Were you being arrogant, though, or were you like, sure?
He wasn't arrogant. Trust me, normally backstage, I'm normally the other guy. I'm always like, oh, come on, do you think he looks better than me? And I'll be asking my girl, like, he looks huge. What she's like, what are you talking about? So I'm the opposite. So for me to be confident backstage when I see guys, believe me, there must have been something I've seen there. So I looked, and I just thought, man, yeah, come on, this is it. There's no way in hell, of course.
Yeah.
So we walked up, going to the stage part, and this room was so humid and so hot. I was like, okay. And they was like, okay, guys, the government just implemented a last-minute change from yesterday. And I was like, what? It's like, oh, you all got to put this mask on stage.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Put it on.
Yeah.
We get on there. And then you walk on the stage, and it's so dark. You can't obviously see. You're so dark, you can't see the judges. Yeah. They're on a platform in front of you. And you think, okay, we go through the poses, and then they pose us. Round after round after round. I mean, we must have done at least seven rounds in there.
There's only four of you.
There's one call out. Put it that way. There's one call out. So it wasn't like, oh, come on, man. There's one call out. So I'm like, okay, it pulls around and around. So it's getting to the fifth round, and I'm gushing with sweat, and I'm drenching, and I'm thinking, man, I can't hold this. I'm falling apart. I'm thinking, come on. So I look at the guy next to me. I'm thinking, hell, he's sweating too. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
This must not just me feeling it. We all getting it here. So I'm thinking, okay, cool. You know what?
Yeah.
At least if they're going to look at it, they're going to say this way. And this time, it's not like the kind of posing around where you get a minute in between and they say, okay, guys, step back and you get the towel off and come back. No, this was like...
It's around and around. Yeah.
The whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So we kind of went through the rounds and stuff and I was like, okay, cool. Came off stage, kind of, you know, cooled down, had a drink, chill, okay. And they only did the one round. So we come back on stage and they was like, okay, guys, just stay there. We're going to do the results. I'm like, all right, cool. So they called out the fourth place. I'm like, yeah, okay. Called out second place. They called out third place. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, the next name is the winner of the show. So at this point, no matter how confident you are, at this point, your heart starts
racing. Yeah, you're waiting, yeah.
At this point, you're not. And I'm thinking, okay. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, there's no way. Come on. This, come on, man. There's no way. So I'm literally, I'm thinking, it just can't be. And then they called him the winner.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean...
And you're certain, like you're like, is there any photos anywhere?
This is the most frustrating thing about this whole thing, right? So normally, you know, if you get faster on shape, you have your opinion of it, which everybody does.
Yeah.
Oh, I should play. But then you come off, you take a few, you might not feel it at that time. You might feel very hostile and very like, oh, this is bull and all that stuff. But when you finally calm down and you relax and you start looking at photos, you start looking at videos, you start seeing, going, okay, actually, I got him at this pose. I missed him at this pose. Okay. You start analyzing that, those things, and you start saying, okay, maybe I can see what the judges see.
Yeah.
But you're talking about show where there's no photos.
Wait, I got some photos.
Oh, you got some photos?
Yeah, let's take a look. It's closer than you think, brother.
Yeah, let's see.
All right. Let me see if I can bring this up. So this is what I got here. So I got this. This is your side chest.
Yep.
So you look like you're, from this photo, it looks like you're in better condition. And it looks like...
That was last round. I could see the sweat. I could see the sweat busting everywhere.
But I can see here your glutes a little harder from the side anyway.
Yeah.
Your posing is better. I don't know if... You guys look like you're similar in size. Your stomach looks sharper than his. Yeah. The front relaxed.
Oh,
he's pretty good. You guys
yeah,
are pretty,
oh man, he's good.
You guys are pretty equal. I think you look like you're a little drier and more complete, but it's not like
yeah.
It's he's a good bodybuilder.
Oh no, without a doubt, man. Yeah. Don't even try to take anything away from that at all.
You have the ab and thigh is yours for sure.
Yeah,
his stomach's protruding here a little bit in the bottom, and your abs are stacked nicely. I think, we got a side tricep here.
Side tricep.
Yeah, I would give that to you as well, just because I think your stomach is a little more streamlined. Everywhere else, you guys are pretty even.
Yeah.
He looks like he might have a little bit, you have the thickness of your chest is the same, but his is a little bit, drops a little lower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arms and shoulder, your arms are a little bigger, shoulders are the same size, legs look drier than his. It's tough. It's not. There's no back shot.
Is there? There's no back shot, because that's one thing I know for a fact. And when I saw him backstage, I saw his back.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Come on, man."
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I like. Okay, you know what? If we probably be close from the front,
yeah,
from the side, and from the back. Now that
you look really good there, Samson.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
This guy's actually pretty good too, though.
Oh man, without a doubt. I mean, No, he's not nothing to play with at
that's
all.
That's this guy. Is there any other? He doesn't have any other photos on his page, I don't think.
Because we all sanctioned to not post anything. We literally was like, you can't post anything, you can't do anything, you can't. Everything has to be hidden, you know. So you can imagine what that feels like for the athletes when you don't have any evidence of actually like what you look like on stage or nothing like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. So I don't. That's the only photos I could find. And for those of you who are watching, that's Bodybuilders Without Borders. This guy does a good job of getting all the newest news and stuff. But these pictures are pretty good. Like,
yeah, they're close, man.
Dude, you look really, really good. I actually give you the side chest. I need to see the back shots
need to see the back shots, man.
I could be biased because you know you're.
We know
each other, but no, but in all honesty, if I'm trying to be as objective as possible, I would, I will say this, it's very, very close, but I would give you this shot. I think you're better in the front relaxed. I think you're better in the ab and thigh. And I think you're better in the side tricep. And the only thing is I would need to see the back shots before I could judge.
You know, we gotta see the back, you know, and this is like, okay, finish it off. Show us the back and oh, wow. Dang.
There's a most muscular. You guys are very close. He's got a good physique.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Without a doubt, man.
Yeah. That's the only shot they have on their page. Yeah.
I mean, I think because you know they were videoing the whole show in 4K, so I would think at this point they will release the whole video of the show. You know.
Hopefully.
Just release it so we can see actually watch the show and say, okay, that's what happened.
Yeah. You know? So. So, okay, so you got called second. Where, what happens to your heart at this point? Because you've basically put everything into this for an entire year almost.
I mean, I think anybody else would understand, especially being through all that and then not coming with a win. At that point, you know, you're on stage and you have to be professional, regardless of what you feel about
it. Of course.
Big hands, you know, you have to be professional, regardless of your third. I think it's unacceptable to ever storm off or whatever.
So, I agree.
Shake hands, walk off the stage. And as soon as I walk off the stage, I'm just like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of the venue. I need fresh air. I need to go. I can't think. Yeah. So I'm walking off and the promoters are calling me, going, no, come back. We want to give you this award. I was like, look, guys, I just need to go outside. I need fresh air. I can't.
I don't want a fucking award. I want a fucking Olympia qualification.
In lighter terms, okay? But I went outside for a minute. I got some fresh air, calmed down. Like, okay, just, we'll deal with this later. Just go back, be professional. Don't be a douche.
So
I go back in there and they say, oh, Sam, look, we want to get you on stage. We want to take some photos. I want to give you this award. So I'm thinking at this point, I'm thinking, man, dude, I'll be polite, but honestly, I couldn't care about an award at this point, man. So,
is that what you said, Tom?
But I still walked up on stage with him. I'm not going to come on, man. I can't be disrespectful. So I still walked up on stage with him. So they come out and they give me an award and they say, oh, a popularity award.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm an athlete, man. I ain't a popularity guy. I'm like, thanks, but
It doesn't make it better.
It's not gonna. Yeah. No. So obviously, I kind of like, okay, went back to the hotel room, called up my girl, called up everyone, say, look, man, this just happened.
Yeah.
And they obviously, this is the thing where you have no evidence, you have nothing to show. You have to say, man, I lost. I thought I had it.
Yeah.
You lost. Like.
Yeah.
And they're like, what happened? How can he? He must look at what's going on. And they're asking questions, and you're thinking, man, look, honestly, I thought I had it. I can't explain it, but I thought, but it's like when you have nothing to actually say, look.
You can't prove your point. Yeah.
You can't prove your point. So anything else you say above that is basically you're a sore loser.
That's right.
At this point, you just kind of like, just have to keep quiet.
Is that why you haven't said anything to this point?
Of course.
Because how long has it been now? It's been 2 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah. And you
so obviously, with the contract, we weren't allowed to say anything.
And now that they've released photos, you're
now they release now I'm officially to talk about it. We weren't allowed to say anything at all until they've officially released everything.
Okay.
So I remember messaging them up and I said, look, guys, honestly, I'm not gonna act like, you know, I'm cool, but I'm all happy with the decision. But anyway, can I have some like photos and videos so I can actually see what everybody else saw, because I can't see myself on stage. I don't know. You know, at this point, your mind is tearing you apart. You think, okay, what did I do wrong? What's going on? What did I miss? You're ripping yourself apart. You feel like you messed up, you crap, you whatever, you
did
suck.
Did you try and get any feedback from the judges, or they didn't speak English?
No, they didn't speak English, man. Most of them, I think probably a couple of them did.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know what?
I couldn't get anything from them.
So I just like, you know what? Just get out of here, man.
Yeah.
So I went back to the hotel, and obviously I'm trying to, like, I messaged the guys and say, look, is there a possibility you just send me anything? Just let me see. And they said, no, sorry, unfortunately, with the whole government thing, they can't release any photos to me. They can't do anything until this whole thing is through, and then they'll put out videos and photos and everything. So you can sort of just imagine, man, at this point, it's almost like you're trying to, like, pick yourself up. You're in a hotel room by yourself.
Yeah.
You've just been through that.
Yeah.
You know, other than the people on the phone, you're trying to pick yourself up of a really, really crappy situation and just stay in it.
Yeah.
So after obviously a day of feeling completely crap and just like whatever. Same thing, man. It's like, you kind of think, yeah.
I mean, you would hope as an athlete that after you put yourself through, and people may think it's just the 2 weeks of quarantine, but if we go all the way back to January.
Yeah.
You jump through so many hoops and there's so many hurdles along the way that's where the emotion, the pain
comes from, you know?
Yeah.
So like after a while, you know, like because we've been through all that so many times, so many disappointments, so many letdowns, so many time and time and time again, we kind of sat down and go, okay, look, instead of sitting down here for just dwelling on the negatives and all the bad and all the crap and no, this not working and everything going for hell, why don't we make a plan for the future and then take away the positive you got from this whole experience?
Yeah.
You know, so day or two, I started thinking, I go, look, I came to South Korea. I spent 5 weeks out there.
Yeah.
Something that I would never thought in my life. I went to 2 weeks in a room by myself completely alone. Sometimes I'm thinking, man, I would have gone nuts in any other time, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I did that by myself, you know. I got to talk to you and get signed by you guys. I'm like, hey, bonus, god damn, this can't be that bad after all. So I started taking notes of all the positive things that's happening along the way, and I'm thinking, you know what? Yes, it sucks. It will never not suck. It will suck. But you know what? It's all something. It's all a lesson. It's all something you take away from. This is bodybuilding. It won't be the first time. It hasn't been. It's not the first time you've had a bum placement. It won't be the last.
It's amazing that you say that, because now that you put it in perspective, it's like, it's so true what you're saying, because it's almost like the same thing as getting injured, right? Like I've gotten injured, and you think your life is over. And then you, not your life, but your career is over. And then you come back from that injury, and all that did was make you stronger. You start to realize that you're I'm sure that spending those 2 weeks in a room,
oh man,
like searching for food and trying to train and like being stuck in there, probably taught you a lot about yourself.
Man, you won't believe. I believe you haven't even half the fact. The thing is, you're sitting there, you're thinking, okay, pick up on all the good things. I mean, another thing that happened when I was in there, I lost my job when I was there.
Did you really?
I did. Literally a few days before the show, you know.
Is that why? So it's a good thing.
It was literally the day after we agreed on, 2 days later, that happened.
The day, two days after we signed you?
2 days later, 2 days afterwards.
Wow. Well,
you cannot sit there. When things happen like that, you almost feel like you just want to throw your head back and just laugh and go, this is crazy. Like,
don't you feel like, isn't it nuts sometimes? Don't you feel like you're being tested?
Oh man, believe me, this is the ultimate test. It's been the ultimate test.
Do you ever sit back and go, like, I don't know if you believe in God and all that. I'm not really a religious person, but but sometimes I sit there and I wonder, I'm like, is something out there testing me?
Testing me. And this is exactly how I feel about this whole situation.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we spend so much time focusing about the end goal and what we got to get. We completely miss the journey, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when I got back home and I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about this year, and I started thinking about everything we've done, and I'm thinking, man, the journey has been spectacular. It's tested you as a person. Like, this is not a case of you sitting there all the time, go, one day I want to be a big bodybuilder. One day I want to make it. One day I want to do this. But it puts you to the test and say, look, truly, how badly do you want it? Every single time you've answered that question, you've come back and you bounced back and you said, you know what? I want this more than anybody could ever imagine.
You've
answered that time and time again.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, that's what this year has to have proven to yourself, is that you can pretty much do fucking anything. Yeah. Because there's nothing. I mean, think about what you've been through. There's no way. I mean, look, I love bodybuilding, but I wouldn't have gone through what you went through. I wouldn't have. And I'm not trying to say, like, you know, that to make me sound weak or anything. I just,
no.
When the Tampa Bay thing happened.
Yeah.
That would have been it for me. I might have regrouped and got ready for Chicago or Spain.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would have been able to regroup fast enough to be ready for Korea.
To be ready for Korea.
Like, the fact that you turned over mentally so quickly and you were ready to get back at it.
I think that's one thing that's taught me this year, because it feels like from the first cancellation, which was South Korea and South America back in April, when the whole thing first happened, that felt like it took a week to get over it.
Okay.
And then the second one happened and it took a little less time. And then the next one, and then it took a little less. And then when Tampa happened, I mean, it took me 2 days. It took me the weekend. After the weekend, we're like, okay, what's the plan? We're going to South Korea. Okay, let's go. So every time it happened, it took a little bit less. And it's almost like as soon as you can think about what's next, what do you do next? Yeah. Automatically, you start feeling better, you know? Yeah. So people probably seeing the result now, they think, oh man, they're kicking off. How can he not be this? But remember, it's been 2 weeks now. I'm already moved on. I'm already thinking.
You forgot about it already, yeah?
My mind is gone. I'm already thinking about the next show. I'm like, okay, focus, Spain, let's go.
How do you not, and this is probably my own personal curiosity, but after some of these things happen, like, how do you not say, you know what, maybe 2020 is a wash. I'm going to take an off season and get ready for 2021 when everything's more normal. What is the driving force that's like, no, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep doing every single show until they literally tell me I can't do anymore.
I mean, sometimes it's obviously mental toughness. Just saying, look, I've decided in this year that I was going to make it to the Olympia one way or the other. I was going to do whatever it takes. When this year started, that was my goal. So, okay, yeah. Do whatever shape. Even though you got to do every show, do whatever it takes, make it to the Olympia this year. Come on. Yeah. And that was my mind coming to the year. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Call it a New Year's resolution, call it whatever. But that was my mindset coming in the year. And then with all the setback that happened, all it did, it kind of tempted me. But then all it did, it actually strengthened my resolve each time I passed one of them obstacles. Like, come on, you've gone through this one. Okay, you can go through the next one. You can go through, come on, look what you've been through already. Come on, you can go through the next one.
Yeah.
And even now, you kind of sit there and go, man, you doubt, the times where you doubt yourself, thinking, man, should I just sit my ass down and just calm, just lock my house and door, lock my ass indoors and just focus on next year? But then I said, look, maybe I'm still looking for my happy ending. I'm still looking for that one thing. Because at the end of the day, if I look back on 2020, what am I going to look at it like? Okay, all this shit happened to you. You went through all this and then you sat then down. So maybe it's a case of me saying, no, I'm going to keep fighting. I keep fighting. And then somewhere, something is going to come out of this. Something has to. It just has to, you know. I think it's just that stubbornness that is basically making me go for the next one, the next one, the next one.
Do you feel like you're almost playing a game with yourself?
Oh, man.
You're kind of like mentally, you're like, let's see how much I could fucking take before I break. Yeah.
Really, it does feel like that. And the thing is, it's happened so many times and we've gone through it so much now. I feel a bit more laid back about it. Like you almost like anything, you're like, you almost like you say like, okay, now I wonder what all the bad news is gonna happen now. Come on, let's bring it. Come on.
You're like, bring it on, I can take it. Yeah.
Next one. You know, and it really does start to feel like that after a while. You're just like, okay, come on.
And that's funny. It's such a bodybuilding mentality because on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Like I was telling you, we were talking on the phone earlier and I haven't dieted in a while.
Yeah.
I forgot how much I revel in the hunger and struggle that comes in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh yeah.
You know
man.
You know, going from like 8% body fat to like 3% body fat.
Where
you really gotta like go to like this really shitty place.
Dark place to get it. Oh, I know that feeling. And you know how it feels, that warrior mentality where you're thinking, I'm gonna go through whatever it takes.
But it's like my best, it's like I hate it. But there's something, but it's like, it's like that thing we're talking about. It's like you're playing this game with yourself. You're like, how much fucking can I take? How hungry can I get? Before I bust and I can't take anymore. Yeah. Like
it really is like that, you know. And I think this year, this whole year, has just been
that's for you,
You know, and I feel like for me, I feel like okay. Imagine after we're going through this year, regardless of what high ends, where we're at, and then next year things go back to a normal sense of you can go to a show, you can do a thing. Now, if I was going to do a 14-week, 16-week prep, what would that feel like to me after all this?
It's a joke.
Exactly.
It's a breeze.
You know, so even this Spain show, people like Spain, I'm like, look, at least this show, I know there's a good chance it's going to happen. Because already that's already a positive in my book. I'm like, I was a week away from a show, and I didn't even know if it was going to happen or not. Now, when you're thinking, you're looking at a show, and people are like, it's Spain. Okay, come on, let's go. I'm thinking, man, and I can actually train in my own gym and actually work. I'm like, man, come on, man.
Yeah, this is a breeze for you.
This is like holiday. I'm like,
now
great.
It's like, now it's fun for you. Yeah,
it really is fun.
I tell people, I've said this before, and I forget I don't know if I was doing some kind of motivational speech or something when I was training, but this is what I think the beauty of bodybuilding is people think that bodybuilders are narcissistic in a sense that we do it because we want to look pretty.
Want to look good. Nah.
And I feel like, for me anyways, and I think for most of my peers, the beauty of bodybuilding is having the control of your mind and the control of your urges and the control of your like wanting to quit and being able to control yourself and say no is such such a powerful thing that it's like it's almost like a drug.
Yeah. And like, that's the power of it.
And that's what I feel like bodybuilding gives you, right? It's like that urge that you can do anything.
Yeah, and this is why I said, like, I always have this thought. I think bodybuilding, people think bodybuilding is all about training the body. Yeah. But I'm thinking, nah, man, it's the mind that gets the most workout in this sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the mind that does it. Because the obstacles you face and what you have to put yourself through time and time again.
Yeah,
Your body can take anything you punish it with.
Yeah,
but your mental side, that's what gets really tested.
Yeah, I like it. So before you go, I want to – well, there's a few more questions I want to ask you, but tell everybody the story. You told me a quick story about the gyms in Korea.
Yeah.
The shoes. Okay. Can you please tell everybody? Because I found this to be so strange.
All right. Okay. So based in Korea, man, it's almost like their custom, right? You go in the changing room. When you go to the gym, you obviously go in and you go to the changing rooms. Now, the changing rooms, before you walk into the door, like the first time I walked in anyway, there was just shoes all over the door. Like shoes just blocking, like shoes everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? Is this a lost and found or something? What was going? Yeah. But I'm like, okay. But then I realized them guys, before they walk in the changing rooms, they take their shoes off and then walk into the changing rooms.
That's so gross.
Now, don't just imagine. We're not talking about like no high class changing room. We talk about the same changing room where guys go in the shower, go in the toilet, and then walk out, and the floor is all wet and all nasty. And then you got to take your shoes. And man, most of the time when you take your shoes off, you still got your socks on.
That's right.
So now you got to walk on them creepy.
And your socks are all wet and shit.
Yeah. And then you got to put your shoes back on before you go back in the gym. Oh. So I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, man, I don't know about this, man. I'm like, okay. Yeah. First few times, you do it just to be respectful. Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose this is the thing. Yeah. But then one time I walked in and I looked at the floor and this guy was like, walked through and he's wet. And I'm like, nah, sorry, man. This one, nah. This is, no. Okay. I'm leaving this thing on. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I'm just going to grab this real quick and get out.
You know, I understand the custom of taking your shoes off, but I find it to be so weird in a locker room.
I know that I really don't get that, and it wasn't just like one gym. Every gym went to was the same. Same thing.
Like the custom, it's the same thing in like Middle Eastern countries. Like when you enter a home, you take your shoes off and whatever. But I don't get the hygiene of it in a locker room because you're trekking through the shower and then through the bathroom and then the fucking.
Come on, man. It's disgusting, man. It doesn't make any sense, especially in the changing rooms. Like anywhere else, okay, fair enough, that's what it is. But in a changing room, you gotta think like, really? Like, I really wanna be walking. I mean, there's toilets right there, the shower, you walk through there and I gotta walk my feet through.
If anything, it's the opposite. Like you're just you're asking for a case of athletes some shit. Like
it's the custom, man.
I wanted to get that out, but I want to ask you. So moving forward now, you're getting ready for Spain, and Spain is a top three qualification.
Yeah.
I know you're going to go to win, but would you be happy like if you took third and you qualified? Just is qualification, man, your main objective?
Qualification is my main objective. I got to say that right now, because when I came into this year, my mind was basically, I want to qualify for the Olympia. I want to stand on Olympia for the first time. I want to experience that. For the first time.
Sure.
Okay. Obviously, before this whole thing, it was basically you neither go on points or you go by winning a pro show. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll win a pro show. I'll qualify. You know, I'll do whatever it takes and stuff. So when you now look at an event where they say, oh, now top three is thing, don't get me wrong, your mindset will always be, man, I'm going to win.
Yeah, you still want
to
win.
Never change. You still going to win. But then it's almost like, not lax, but it kind of almost like, okay, you know what? If you can be good enough and just be good enough to make that top three spot. Because now you almost feel like the goalpost has been widened.
Yeah. Gives you, more opportunity.
Exactly. And you're like, come on, man. You got to be good enough just to make that top three spot. You can actually achieve what you set out to do. You know?
Look, so I feel like there's a snobbiness that comes with some guys and they're like, I don't want to do the Olympia. And I've said this before, so I'm guilty of saying it myself. I don't want to do the Olympia unless I win a show and get there because I want a show. I actually, you know, looking back at my career, I think that's bullshit because when I first did the Olympia the first time, the first time I qualified, it was because I took third at a show. Cause back then you could
you could
place top three and qualify. Mm-hmm. Right. And, the experience is the same.
Yeah, exactly. That
the thing is,
it doesn't diminish,
you know, the fans might care, but for the bodybuilder himself, the experience of being at the Olympia, when you actually get there and you get on stage in front of all those people at the biggest show in bodybuilding, no one gives a shit anymore how you got there.
And how you got there.
Especially you yourself, when you're standing there.
You really don't care.
You don't give a fuck if you're last place. You don't give a fuck if you got there like by accident. You don't care if it was a special invite. You're just happy that you are standing on the ultimate stage.
Especially when it's your first time.
That's what I'm saying,
You've worked your whole career for this one goal. You're gonna be like,
I mean, maybe like obviously if it's your second, third, fourth, fifth,
third time, then maybe you'll be a bit more like, oh, come on, man, I want to be whatever. Yeah. But when it's your first time, your mind is like, look, as a bodybuilder, your goal has always been this. Like,
You just want to feel and experience the whole thing.
Exactly. You know, you can worry about, okay, how I'm gonna do it next time. I'll worry about, okay, look, I'm gonna kill every show or whatever next time. Yeah. But right now, let me feel it first. Let me get a taste of it. And then we can talk about the rest later.
You know? And that's the thing people say to me, like, well, because some people will say, oh, you took last at the Olympia when you did Olympia. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like when you go, there's an entire There's, and you'll see, because you're going to get there. There's an entire fanfare that comes with the Olympia, right? There's the athletes meeting, and then you get the Olympia jacket, and you get to it's just a very like a different kind of camaraderie that comes with being at the Olympia. And I think for people, like, you know, fans don't understand, some fans don't understand, and they say, well, that guy took 8th, or that guy took 12th, or that guy took, and they play it down. I don't think they understand the gravity of what it means to the guy that's actually there. Whether he was whether he was 13th or whether he was 3rd, for some guys, that it's still 13th best in the world. Like,
I know this, and this is the part. I think that's the part people tend to miss, is wherever place you place is still that number in the world.
You know what's crazy? Somebody was trying to make fun of Ian, because Ian won the New York, right? Ian Valier.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so what? He's probably going to be like 9th at the Olympia. And I'm like,
oh, really? I'm like, are you what? You're making fun of that? Really?
I'm like, is that a bad thing? Because that's 9th. That's 9th in the entire fucking world. Are you kidding? Like, yeah.
Man, hey, I'll swap places. I'll take 9th. Hey, give me that. I'll take it gladly. Hey, yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you very much.
I feel like they say it so flippantly. Like,
yeah.
If you were if you were 9th best in the world at any other profession, yeah, it would be the biggest deal ever, right? Yeah, man, but for us, if you're 9th in the world, you're shit. And I'm like,
oh, come on,
it's really? Like, yeah. So, really? Anyways, no. So Spain's coming up. They've expanded it to top 3. Yep. I'm actually considering going.
Oh wow, now I'm excited.
If I do compete, and I said this to you before, I don't think my body is what it was 4 years ago. So I don't know if I'm going to qualify. I just want to go for fun. It's for me.
Yeah, but you got to understand. For me, this is the thing, is people kind of like, I keep saying this because people seem to forget, because bodybuilding is still new to me.
Yeah.
And all you guys were the guys I was watching less than in 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
What the hell? This is, look at this. I was watching that as, I haven't even started bodybuilding yet. Now that I'm standing, I'm getting to meet you guys and stand and go, I'm going to jump on stage with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what that does to your mentality? Do you know what that does to you inside? So for me, I'm like, man, oh my God, can you believe this? Like, like, seriously, man. Fanboy moment. Seriously?
I think it'll be fun, because if I do Spain, like, you know, because listen, if I compete, the competing thing for me at this point, like I said, is more for fun than for like placing or whatever. Yeah. It's for me, right?
Yeah.
I think it would be more fun for me to do Spain, because you're doing it, and you know, me and James have become friends. So James is doing it, and Reagan's doing it. And
yes.
So I feel like it'd be more camaraderie there, because I know some of the guys doing Chicago, but not as well. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like if I'm going to go, if my objective is to do it for fun, it might be more fun to go to Spain.
I mean,
do it with you guys.
I kind of seen the guys that are doing it, and I'm seeing the lineup, and I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be a hell of a show.
It's a good show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think Raphael's doing it too.
Oh, I know. And that's what, do you know the excitement? The thing is, some people, come on. There's excitement inside me, because I think Lionel Baecki is doing it. Raphael, and this is
Lionel's doing it too.
I think so, because he's prepping for something. Because, and I'm thinking, man, okay, this is like, imagine this lineup.
It's a big show.
Imagine this. Oh man,
it's a big show.
Like, the guys you're standing next to, I'm
like, oh. If in the lineup, I'm thinking in my head, even a top 3, like the 3rd guy, could potentially be top 10 at the Olympia.
Yeah, and this is it. How crazy!
You know what I mean? Yeah,
really, that is a crazy lineup.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm.
Yeah, I mean, even out of the guys we named, right? Like, you or James or Raphael or Reagan,
and
any one of you guys could be a top 10 at the Olympia. Like,
man,
it's going to be a big
serious
show.
Lineup. It's a serious lineup.
I don't want to do it.
How are you going to be there for that?
Guys, I don't want to be I don't want to be the last. I don't want to be the last call up. Fourth call up.
No way.
No way. I know. I'm just fucking around. I'm excited for you. So what is your diet easier now because you're kind of already ready, or did you gain any weight and now you're taking it back off, or what did you do?
We came up like what we always do every time we get this appointment with a show, and I have 4 weeks. So we came back home, you know, as I said, my girl preps me. So she said, look, this week, don't do any cardio, eat freely, still stick to diet, but have whatever you want in between and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's fill you back up, because she's kind of said, like, look, you're looking, you don't have that pop and that, you know, that look that you normally have.
You weren't training at a gym for a long time.
No, I mean, you're training at a hotel. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you that dance and that look that you normally have is gone. So maybe we got to fill you back out a little bit more and then bring you down and hit you hard. And she said, look, we want to get you even harder. We need to get you harder.
I think so.
It has to be, you know, it can't be nothing left to chance.
I'll tell you this, Samson, and I'm going to just speak freely, and you don't have to say anything, because I know it's hard to take compliments sometimes, but I think you have an amazing physique. Okay. You are very, very complete. I think if you come in shredded, there is no reason you can't beat the guys we named. I think because you have the structure and because you have the muscle, your main objective is just
be sharp,
get as shredded as possible,
you know, and this is it. And, you know, I mean, you can imagine the frustration and people, you know, obviously people go, oh, come on, man, just get shredded. I know it's not easy.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
And obviously. And even me, the hunger for that, you know, the drive and anger, come on, man, just look, pull through it. And I know for a fact with everything that's happened, this show is one thing I'm like, you know what, man?
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever. Come on. Just put me through it. I've already been through worse. Come on.
You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start calling you every time I have to do cardio. I'm like, I'm doing cardio. Samson, I'm doing cardio. Are you doing cardio?
because now I actually walk my dog first thing in the morning, and then I come home, and then I jump on a treadmill, and then I do cardio again.
Are you serious?
So I'm like, oh, yeah. I walk my dog for for 20 minutes and half an hour, then come home and then do cardio again.
Do regular cardio. Yeah.
I'm like, look, I got to – come on, man. I got to pull this in. I got to make it sharper. I really – because obviously one of the areas – my one – from the front, I'm like, cool, okay. Yeah. From the back, okay. Well, glutes and hamstrings is one of those things that I always struggle with. It's always the part that holds water. It's always the part that kind of like, it's only just that.
Yeah.
So it's one thing that we kind of like, come on, man, this year we got to nail this. We don't want to walk on stage and say, if only that part, if only. So we're like, look, we're going to figure this out. We're going to do everything, but we got to pull it in even tighter than that. You know, even on Instagram, I keep posting back shots and video picture of back shots. People are like, why are you posting? I'm like, because I know that that is the one part that
I want people to make fun of me, so I work harder. That's why.
It literally is, because I want, this is the one part that, because you know, guys always, you know, on Instagram, some guys, they'll post their best shots all the time. I'm like, look, it's easy to do that. Look, if you could post everything from every angle and say, look, pick me apart. This is me.
Yeah.
Okay. See me as I am. And then when they say, oh, someone's like, oh, you just need more thickness. You just need this on your back. And then I'm like, cool, I'm going to kill myself in the gym. This is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, criticism hurt like hell.
Yeah.
But I also know that once the main effect of the pain goes and you start thinking about it, you start going, okay, let's work. Let's put work into it. Let's go.
You know what? That's really insightful that you said that. And I've never thought of it that way, but you're right. That criticism, you're right. In the moment you see it.
It hurts.
Emotionally, you're like, fuck. And then, but it's weird. Like a day later, it'll kind of like.
It clicks. It's actually.
Yeah.
Maybe. Now that it's right. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then you start, actually, let me look at it again. Yeah. Okay. I sort of see where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, okay, let's fix it. Let's go.
Yeah,
I think that is definitely like something that. I keep posting back and I keep saying, look, come on, we got to improve on this.
That doesn't mean you guys get to be fucking trolls.
No. There's, you know, this is the thing. People mistake criticism with just, you know, really bad trolling comments. No.
Criticism is
where it comes from, a good place, where someone tells you, look, you're really good, man. Look, you got good here. You got good there, but you just need to be a little bit of this. And you know the person you're speaking to is not just somebody just kind of speaking out of it. Speaking bullshit. They're actually coming from a good place. So when you hear that, especially like from guys that you do respect and other pros and stuff, and they say, look, this is the main thing we think about you, your physique. You got everything there. You just need to be harder. You got everything. You just need to be stronger. You got everything. You then sit back and say, okay, right. I know the person that this is coming from. I trust them. I know who they are. I know what they're saying. So I need to be, you know, humble enough, humble myself, say, look, okay, I'll work at that.
Yeah.
You know,
when it comes from the right person, or even not the right person, but when you can feel that it's coming from the right place.
You feel that it's coming from the right place. You know, there's a difference between, because you can all feel it. When you get a critique or whatever, you can feel whether it's coming from the right place or something that is just out there. You know the difference, you know?
Yeah.
So when you know it's coming from the right place, you kind of like, don't get me wrong, it still hurts like hell. It still freaking stings when you get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, once that finally, once that depletes, you kind of think, okay, this is what I want to do moving forward.
All right, buddy. So people should check out your YouTube channel, because Samson's just getting started on his YouTube channel. We're going to kind of start working together and getting your stuff honed out properly so that you can put out some good stuff. Subscribe to Samson's YouTube channel, follow him on Instagram, and you're going to be doing some stuff for us on our Hostile channel as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So we're going to kind of follow you, hopefully, over the course of your prep for the next 4 weeks and watch you get shredded. And, we'll hopefully, you know, maybe I'll do Spain. We'll do it together.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so, man, we're looking forward to this, man. I'll definitely be looking for that. Yeah.
All right, buddy. We will talk very soon. I'm glad we were able to get your story out. Nice. And I'll put this up tomorrow morning, and everybody can follow you along and see how your prep goes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. I'm going to let you go. Have a good day.
And, you too.
We'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Likewise. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Bye-bye. All right.